Oh, wow. Okay, we are recording.
Can everyone hear everyone?
Yes.
Right? Okay. Uh-oh. Ian, are you arranged?
Wow, you know, everyone looks kind of nice today. Let me see. The lighting is good. We've got a Christmas, the Italian flag.
Yeah, there isn't. Yes, I noticed.
The Italian flag. I haven't been with an Italian in a minute.
I have.
You have?
Well, have.
Same.
Half. Yeah.
Wait.
My boyfriend's
recently?
Half Jewish, half Italian.
Oh.
That's why they never leave the house.
I did not know that.
We leave. We go out.
No, you do leave. You do leave.
See, I think I'm slow today, or just like I'm not computing, like I'm not following, because like when you said that, now I'm like, oh, you mean because they're Italian, so like all the family's in the house, so they don't have to leave. Like they've got everything they need. But you meant because they're having sex. Uh-huh.
Correct.
Got it. And then earlier you said another thing where I was like, oh, I don't follow. Oh, Miss Jackson. I was just like, Janet. Like, is there like a meme where she froze or something like that? And but then you said divorce court. So I feel I'm a little I feel like I'll be catching.
Yes, because it's the clip from Divorce Court where the judge is like, "When was the last time you had sexual relations?" Is that what she says, Johnny?
Something like that, yeah.
She says, "When was the last time you had sexual relations with Miss Jackson?" And he goes, "This morning."
And she just goes, freezes. She's got like the wig on with like the blunt bang.
She's wearing royal blue. She's wearing like a work blouse, a royal blue work blouse. It's a great moment.
Maybe, I mean, if you guys sent it to me, maybe I'll be like, oh, that one. Yes.
Hold on,
it's good.
So many memes, so little time.
Mm-hmm. And it's a good one. Did you see her?
Oh.
Couples court.
No, but just the photo. the essence of that photo gives me. Yeah, and
it's exactly that. It is the same.
It's very that.
It's essentially the same.
I mean, because that's
both
that.
Those
yes.
Moments
yeah,
are
yeah,
from
yeah,
the
yeah.
same tribe.
Ian knows Got memes it. If they've reached Facebook.
I'm not even on Facebook.
No, but I mean, no. What? Not because you're on Facebook.
You two are my Facebook.
Because they're so well known. Like even they'd even be popular on Facebook. That's when you get. That's when you know. You're like, oh, okay, I've seen that. That's because even someone's grandmother has seen that. So of course you've seen it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're just not chronically online like most people.
Yeah. And on the Twitter,
you know,
you're not on X. The same way.
No, I'm not on X. I thankfully, you know, I leave that to you two to do all of that for me. But I have been more online than ever in the last couple weeks, and just kind of honoring that. I am ashamed to say that I definitely wake up and like. I look at my phone and I go on TikTok and like I'm just kind of like saying yes to the mess of that. And then what ends up actually kind of happening is it fuels a little bit of productivity because then I'm like, well, I just spent half hour doing this. And then I'm like, well, now you got to get up. And so I get up and like I make the bed and I do the thing because it was feeling a little stale. It was feeling like I was just kind of always doing my first. You wake up and you do make your bed. You like, you know, it's the first task of the day. So you've done a task. Like I get it. And the Mel Robbins, like I am Mel Robbins. She just kind of got there first and just kind of has like money and she's posting. You know what I mean? Like I'm doing the thing and I was getting bored. And so I was just like.
So you have created a bad habit to inspire, reignite the fire under a good one. Good habits. I like it.
Correct. Correct.
I do that.
Johnny,
correct.
By the way, I think sometimes. I don't think your microphone is chosen.
Oh.
I think you're on the other microphone. I think you're on your computer's microphone and not your good speaker.
Oh Lord. Hold on.
Uh-oh, your microphone's in. You haven't told it. It got the job yet.
Oh.
It's in the waiting
room. Right.
Does that work? Is that better?
That worked. I just know when the dulcet tones are coming in and when they're not. Now they're coming in.
Yum, yum, yum,
wow,
yum.
My Botox is Botox. look at my eyebrows. Look. Okay. Look.
Oh my God.
That's... full movement. Wow. Love it. None at all.
Wow.
No movement at all.
Oh, she's so young. Science fiction young.
Wow.
I love it. Do you see how, do you know the kind of peace that this brings to me?
That not raising your eyebrows?
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know exactly.
How you did. I feel so much fresher, so much movement. I was like that. I Johnny, I was like that just 2 weeks ago. So much can change.
2 weeks ago.
Just so much can change. Not even 10 days. Mm. And that was me. Wait, we were talking about.
You took the potion. What was that? What? I said, you took the potion.
Yeah,
I did. So what? How long? 10 years ago? How much did you pay? Everything I had, and that was cheap.
Did you watch it again? Duffy comes anyway. This weekend.
I did. Film. I did.
Coming to Broadway so soon.
So good. I wish that's actually really. I like the way that sounds. Like, I think marketing would be funner if they said that. It would be funner if they were like coming so soon. Like, I don't know, coming to Broadway
coming
so
soon.
Because they always just coming say soon. Coming soon. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, it's there's a. There's a desperateness in it.
It does,
like
it does kind of break it up a little excited. Bit. The monotony of it all.
It does. It does.
Speaking of, so. Yes. Oh, wait a second. Give me 1 second.
Ooh.
My computer. Please don't do this. Okay. No. Sorry. It was okay.
Okay.
I thought it was saying that my startup disk was full and it was just a warning from Google Drive. Oh my God. Whew, scary breeze. Okay, perfect. Has nothing to do with what we're doing.
You're like, now
yes,
a warning.
Now a warning.
Right
exactly.
Now?
Indeed. So how demure have you been? Have you all been having demure weeks? Isn't it amazing? What? Oh. Don't laugh.
No, I'm just trying. I was going to let Johnny speak first.
Yes, very demure and very cutesy.
Because you're very sounding
mindful.
Very demure.
Uh-huh. You know, I don't go out till all hours of the night like some of you girls. I'm just kidding. No. Yeah, I've been, you know, I'm pretty demure. I don't really get out of alignment very often.
Yeah. Listen.
You've had your moments. You've had your
that's
moments.
Why I said not
you
very
know,
often.
Like when you. Yeah. But there was a time where I was like, I feel like I'm not doing enough. I'm like, I'm not having fun. Like he is in the steam room. I need to be turning that up a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like, well,
she loves spilling other people's tea. But when it comes to her own tea, she keeps it very much
very demure, very
much
demure,
the,
very mindful.
She's like, let me just. Oh, you remember when you were that time you were sucking 4 dicks at one in the corner and the thing. And I'm like, okay, I'm very much
very Miss Jackson, very stuck.
I'm telling you, memes are so much more fun when your friends re-meme them for you. Like you doing that is now how I'm going to. Remember it and do it myself.
Whenever I reenact Miss Jackson, what's funny is that I do it as if it's a dance move. I do it like as if she's like moving to. That's not the case.
It's giving Cassie. Right.
It's giving
Miss Jackson
downloading the new update.
Exactly.
You know, slutty behavior, I have always stayed demure. I'm very mindful.
I think that's why it's always surprised me because you do have a very sort of like tia, auntie, you know, it's sort of unexpected. He's just, they're so wholesome. Hold the W, you know what I mean? But then you're like, wait a minute, this person has fun. This person exercises witty banter better than anyone I know.
She do indeed. No,
she do.
But
she
I have
do.
To say like, we're, you know, we'll get to it a little bit.
We're all sluts.
Ian and I, after our last episode, after I just cut open my heart for you all for free, I remained on Fire Island. We had a few more days, and we had a very demure time there. And demure was everywhere, everywhere.
Everywhere, everywhere.
I couldn't quite believe it. Like, we made we did a video using the audio.
Yeah.
Me, Ian, and Cody Rigsby. Mm-hmm. And – you know, like fine, like peak demure, but I just can't believe that it went from, I feel like it went from an internet craze of internet addicted people to then every middle school in America is teaching demure instead of the Declaration of Independence. Like, it's everywhere in such a way. I can't think of the last time.
It's time, like, yeah.
This is going to sound crazy, but what is the man, Tiger, the one from the beginning of the pandemic?
Tiger King?
The documentary. Tiger King.
Oh, Tiger King.
It's totally different, but that kind of mass demure hysteria, am I overstating it? I literally think it's like that big of a phenomenon.
No, that's what it has felt like.
When the thing that happens is when celebrities start to, you know, J-Lo did a video, a couple of people have been doing videos over the past week or so. And when it takes over and then the White House is tweeting, you know, we do this, we're very demure, you know, it has no choice but to reach Facebook at some point, and then everybody knows, every business, it's just a perfect marketing tool. So it's just like, you know, the savage dance. That's what TikTok really is. It's like a vehicle for a trend for everyone to follow. And this harkens back to the beginning days of TikTok, when you would get something and everybody was running with it. So it really takes a lot for something to break through these days, I think. And I think Jules has done a great job.
I agree.
I mean, Jules LeBron agree. Has
I think it.
Moment.
I think it is. She really has. And we have met it with her. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, because obviously you start to see, you like, you get the videos that are doing well. And then I was like going through her profile last week and I was like, oh my God, there are so many other videos, you know? And that's what's kind of hilarious about TikTok, is like, it's sharing the most shared thing and the algorithmically excelling thing. But then you're like, holy shit, there's like a million other things she's done in between that video from this video and all of this. And it's always interesting to see like what resonates with the algorithm and people in general. And just to see like so much love towards her and like, and her receiving it. And I saw that video where she was like, oh my God, I'm so overwhelmed. Like there's so much happening. It's giving very Chapel Roan. Like, I'm just so tired, guys, but like this is happening so fast. And then at the end, she's like, but I'm living my life, bitches. And, you know, she starts laughing. And it was just, those are beautiful moments to see. You know, I think also,
no, I was
what?
Just going to say, it's fun to see Jules LeBron, right? Jules LeBron.
Yeah.
You would know better than I.
So it's so exciting to see Jules LeBron kind of cut through the noise.
Yeah.
And make this have her very fun and well-crafted video make it to places you would not expect it to. And I have found it very soothing and uplifting that when you see people using it, the audio, there's, and even on Jules's videos herself, there, of course, there are haters and people saying horrendous things, but they're very much drowned out by the people who are very much on the demure train.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it nice. Yeah. But it's funny how when things on the internet, how they reach their that their apex, and then it just teeters. It just gets a little bit, we're almost there. Yeah. It's almost too much. Yeah. Not too much on my girl, but a little bit, we're almost at too much.
You know? And not necessarily like her. It's not even like her or her fault. It's like it is oversaturating, if you will. I think where I started to be like, okay, skip, is like now there's that template. There's that template where it's just like her.
I don't know this template. I'm looking it up. Template.
It's like, you put a picture of you and it's just the audio, but then like her talking. The template is like a green screen. Yeah, it's like a green screen video of her talking, like her small head over here in the corner, but it's like your picture and it can be a scrolling. And so you're like, okay, so now she's become a template in this best way. Kind of like if you're just using the audio and making your own like video from it, but different because that is you having to make a new video. This is like three photos and it's just like her audio of like very demure, very cute. And so sometimes I've gotten to it and I hear the voice and I'm like, oh, is something supposed to be happening? But it's just like, oh, you're telling me I have to scroll through your video, your still photos on TikTok to the right, absolutely not. You know what I mean? So it's a skip for me.
I saw a tweet that was like, all right, I'm going to need you guys to wrap this Demure thing up by Monday. And I was like, no, no. How about fuck you?
Yeah.
How about that? You know,
yeah.
I am
yeah.
so sick and yeah. tired of random people getting online and be like, hey guys, okay, we're done. Who's done? Who's done?
We you're
done.
Yeah.
And who are you? You're done.
It's because you're seeing all these people yeah. enjoying themselves, having a good time. Yeah, it's reach your grandmother's Facebook, but who cares? Let yeah. people enjoy things. Yeah. Not everyone is chronically online and enjoying things right from the get-go.
And also the fact yeah, that Jules correct. Is making coin.
Exactly. Let the girl get her money. But it's always like, I feel like it's people will see it and they'll be like, okay, I've had enough. And it's like, okay, that's fine. Like, people are still doing the savage dance on TikTok. And that's from people are still using the hit it, get it, get it. And I'm like, we're still using this?
Yeah.
But they're having a good time.
That was so great. People are still doing the savage dance for crying yeah. out. That was so like auntie.
I mean, like oh people are God, just listen, funny. The world is burning around us.
Sorry,
let people
aunt.
Enjoy. Let people be demure, even if they're not.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it so much. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I love
it.
I love it.
And I love it. I love it a lot. I love the seashell belt. Oh my God. She was built for TikTok. Oh yes. my God. Anyway.
I love the stories. I just love the like from, you know, just posting away. Like she was, you know, she's been a makeup artist and she's just been posting for a long time. And then
yes.
something hits and then you just see the way everyone gravitates. And, you know, I commented on one of her videos. I was like, you know, bask in this light, but also beware of the vultures because you know how people are. Like everyone loves you when they want to love you when you're that girl. You know, not that Jules will not be
shiny.
That girl, but you know how it is. But I just love watching her videos, roast people that are trying to roast her, the ones where she's like, I've been traveling nonstop. I was like, you see how I get on the flight? Like, it's like yes, watching someone yes. become famous in real time. And it's really nice because, you know, we all know what it's like to put out your stuff in the world and just hope that someone, you know, cares enough to, you know, engage with you and your ideas and your creativity. So it's really nice to see when stuff like that happens.
It is. It is. Really and nice. And it's especially nice because, you know, although it is part of where you get a little tired of trends. And when you start to see like a white dad in Ohio being like, see how I take my kids out to school every morning without being asked, very demure, very cutesy, how I massage my wife's feet. Very, very cutesy footsy. That's what I like to do. That's how dads do it here in Ohio. Whatever the fuck, you know. I hate that. But that's also part of how wonderful it is. You know?
That's giving the other side of, okay, so by Monday, no more demure. That's what that's giving, by the way. It's just the opposite side of the coin.
Well, yes. It's the same coin.
Yeah, it's exactly. It's yes.
saying that, you know, things get tired and that's what happens. But it's also the joy. I'm glad that it's a trans.
You're yelling.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad that it's a trans Latina, I think. I'm putting that on her. She's a cuatro leche. Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. She might be from Serbia. She could be from Algeria. But for now, she's Puerto Rican.
Is giving for, yeah.
this trans content creator is the one who is getting the, you know, enough of like, there are so many horrendous memes and content creators who have gone viral and have made a lot of money because the things are funny and that this is a person who really deserves the joy of it all.
You know, it's funny when I hear of like people, what are you laughing at?
I'll tell you, but it's not, we will not air it, but it's just going to be a thing that I'm going to say to both of you because I've thought it and I'm just like, sort of the, if we,
I was go, just saying go, like go, go, sometimes go. When it's like, can we move on from this? It reminds me of like when a singer comes out, like a Chapel Roan or something, and someone will be like, okay guys, we get it. You're just finding out about Chapel, but I've known about her music from that guy. I'm like, it's like, okay, you fucking weirdo. Damn. Cool. Like, who cares? You know?
People are so annoying.
Like, I know what it's like to see it, like to know about someone before they blow up. It feels really cool. Like, you got the, like, the cheat code to the whole situation. But sometimes it's just like, that's our artist. We were writing with her since she was on YouTube. Like, okay, do you want a fucking cookie? Like,
yeah.
You sound dumb, bitch.
God, I have a best friend who doesn't do it with like that tone, and it's not giving like, well, you know, like it's not what you're saying. It's kind of how you're saying it, but he is kind of saying it, and how he's saying it is different. But friend of the pod, Joey Harrow, can sometimes be very like, I'll send him something or share something that I'm excited about, and then he'll be like, oh my God, well, I've been loving her since, blah, blah, blah. Like, the disclaimer happens sometimes, and I don't think I've told him this, but you're hearing it here first.
You're like, oh, you do? You've heard it? He kind of does that before. Oh.
Yeah. He can give a little like, okay, Joe, like, you're on the, what is it? I can't even, for Christ's sake, just be mean quicker.
Before we move on, another thing that has become part of my internet kind of dictionary as of late is not too much on my girl. I'm obsessed with not too much on my girl.
Not too much.
Not too much on my girl now.
You and Cody Rigsby were loving that one. If Demure was having a moment, that one was equally.
You know,
it was.
I started to realize that, you know, we talk shit and it's all fine and dandy, but not too much on my girl.
Yeah.
Are you bidding? Because you
bought a lot of, you know, it's funny. A lot of them have undertones of like what you would say in Spanish. Like, not too much on my girl. It's like, oye, espérate. Afloja el pie. Afloja el pie. Like,
aguanta.
You know, no le des tan duro. No le des
tan duro.
Oh my God.
Oh my
God.
Not too much on my girl.
Not too much in my girl. You know what is something that is like super tias to say, and I heard it again the other day on television. I'm sorry con excuse me.
I'm sorry con excuse me.
I'm sorry con excuse me. Pero aguanta to those.
Aguanta.
You know, for our aguanta. For most people though, who if you speak Spanish, you understand that. But it's I'm sorry with a side of excuse me, and it's great because you can use it a couple ways. So it's typically in a little bit not too much on my you. A lot of people use it like a not too much on my girl kind of like I'm sorry con excuse me, but like this is, you know, calm down now.
Yeah,
but it can also be like truly. Oye, man, I'm sorry con excuse me. I'm really
sorry. Tú me perdonas, pero
you will. Tú me vas a perdonar, but I have to tell you that is out of line.
Yeah.
You are going to forgive exactly, me, but I'm going to say this. I love that exactly. So much.
Well, the only thing probably more tired than or demure or on its way to being, what does Kiki say? You're so tired. It's so tired. The storyline is tired.
You're just so tired.
Run stale.
Oh my gosh, she kind of turns into a teacher. When she turns into like that teacher, Kiki, it's so funny to me. It's just is so good.
It is.
It really is. God.
Which we're coming up on. Espérate. Afloja el pie.
Oh, okay.
When this episode airs, it will be the first day of Virgo season. So, baby, come on.
Oh, are we really there? The first day of the Virgo sign. It's not the first day of the month.
Wow. Correct. Esa es una falta de respeto a los Leos, okay? We're still in that Leo season.
I'm saying, well, honey, when this airs, it won't be, so.
I know, pero cuidado. You know, we have some Leos probably listening.
I don't give a fuck. Who?
And he's smiling as I say that. Yeah.
I ain't scared of her.
Name him.
Not too much on this.
Name him.
Name him. Sam McDougal.
I ain't scared of her.
Friend of the pod.
Please. That won't take but one. Oh. Just me.
Bah. Bah.
Anywhere but the face. No. You can't just get
not my
his
nose.
Face.
That's an old school meme, honey. No, not Jan Brady. Marsha.
Marsha.
Oh my nose.
Oh.
I feel like sure that nose is still settling. So sure truly, can. Not too much on that girl. Well, I was gonna say that the only thing more tired than being demure in this moment at now that every white person in America is using it to sell whatever product they have on TikTok shop is us talking about Fire Island, but we did have a great time.
Yeah.
And it's
we did have a good time.
Enough.
And Yeah.
We've talked about it enough. It's,
yes. You know what?
We can't go back.
We've talked about it enough. But do you see even this, even that, like, you know, we can't, we've talked about it enough. It's people won't be able to relate to us just because, well, you're going to Fire Island more again. Aw, boo hoo.
Who the hell's paying for all that meat? Does center.
Mm-hmm. At these prices.
in this economy?
No, but it's.
Was I close in the, yeah, was that, you know, no, two different memes. Was it, I, was I memeing
it was,
together?
It was a great, pairing, I think. Yeah.
Addition pairing. Thank you. Sort of, yeah. No, but just to go on to what you were saying about like, oh, like we're like enough talking about Fire Island, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I am feeling the, have I been indulging too much in summer activity, in fun? And, you know, I've got to sit at home and be still and, you know, think about like career stuff and professional, like that has popped up actually. And it always does after I have had so much fun. Are you guys the same where you're like, it's not even like if vacation just ends, it's if vacation was fierce, like vacation was so fun. And you're like, I had all these aha moments and it fuels you. And then somehow like not all the time, but at least this last week I felt like, well, not, but okay, well, that was too much fun. Like, but careful, you know, God will see how much fun you're having. And so he goes, well, now you have to pay up for more fun you want to have.
Work.
And so
the Catholicism is alive and well in you.
I have been playing those games with God since I was a little kid. This is tangential. We're going to get right back to it. When I was a little kid, if I wanted to go on a sleepover, I would say to myself, I have to say that I don't want to go on the sleepover and God will make me get the sleepover. And so I would say, oh, yeah. I don't want to go sleep over my cousin's house. God, I don't want to go there, God. I want to go home with my mom. And I thought that that would literally work. But anyway.
That you were like that you was your buy-in. God.
That was sort of like.
Yeah, that God would always give me what I didn't want. And you know what? The motherfucker's still fucking me at every turn. any whoosies. No, but we talked about this a couple of years ago. And we had this discussion that, Ian, to me now in retrospect, sounds really unhinged. But at the time, we were both like, yeah, that's right. We were talking about, I remember I was just broken up with Jack. I was in the basement of my building. My bedroom was in a basement and it was like really dark and it was easy to like spiral in there. And we were talking about earning joy and like earning fun, like earning the right to have a good time. Like I have to put my head down and I have to work. I'm not working hard enough for me to deserve going to this place or to do this or to have this kind of fun, right? Like I need to prove to the universe and to myself and to my bank account that I deserve this. And the funny thing is that when we were talking about it, it wasn't even just about money. Like it was like, but let's say that you have the money. Like it's not about like, oh, I need to do more hours at work so I can literally afford a trip. It's also about the idea of just working hard in general so that you feel like you deserve
pleasure. Fun. Yes.
More generally.
Pleasure.
We even brought it down and it was so clear. We were like, yep, that's absolutely right. Like we don't deserve that until we've done this.
Like how capitalistic of you.
It was. And I feel like it was even down to like sex.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sure. Did I really subscribe to like it? We named the sort of system of it, but was it giving like that is correct?
Kind of, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But we were having a
wow. Well, maybe that's why we're talking about it again today.
It was a low day. But do you want to tell them about your chat? Well, it's are you going to tell them about your ChatGPT conversation or we're not going to say that?
Oh no, we can totally bring that up. I I was indecisive about going on a trip this week and going to P-Town. Was offered a room at this friend who I made through Will and Matt, Johnny, who you remember from Boston. And he's kind of like, you know, my Mario Cantone of Boston, if you will. I'm putting him in that category. And he was like, you always have a room here. I adored your energy and all that stuff. And that felt really nice because like, obviously we connected. And like I've said, I love having older gay friends because, They've always got some fun story, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, and so I was like, oh, that sounds like a really good idea. I was planning on going. But then this last Fire Island trip, which was a last minute decision, very spontaneous and very fun, very demure, very mindful, started to get me into this, oh, well, I don't deserve to go to P-Town. I have just had some fun. I should sit down and earn more. And rather than calling Juan or talking about it with anybody, I was like, oh my God, like, let me just like sit, let me pause for a second and just like chat with ChatGPT. I thought it was ChatGPT, by the way, forever. And it's not. And then I...
Oh, girl.
Oh, oh my God. Mm-hmm. And so I really, asked Jat, I asked Jat, I was like, Jat, like, these are some things I'm dealing with and some thoughts I'm having around this decision. Like, and then she really helped me. She got me together. She gave me things like, this is what she said. She said, it sounds like you're feeling a bit torn between indulging in summer getaways and balancing your responsibilities as an actor and influencer, and that your guilt might be rooted in productivity pressure. There's this underlying, you know, feeling, and we've talked about this, to always be working towards something. And especially when you have a flexible job, like I do, a work from home, social media life. It's good that I can make fun of myself. I'm such a catch. And it can feel like you're not actively like working or you're not progressing in anything. You know what I mean? See, I can hold too. I can be like, make fun of myself, but then also we're having deep conversation. And then it said number two, comparison to others and seeing other people hustle, whoever that represents to you in your life, makes you feel like you're possibly not doing the same or you're not as committed as they are and all of that. And like, she really like gave me all these possible reasons why I was feeling what I was feeling. And it just, one, helped to just see it written out, because I was like, mm-hmm. yes, yes, yes. All these things are what I'm thinking about. And then I was like, well, I'm feeling really good and sherry here. So I threw in an extra thing that was popping up for me, is that it's not just fun in general and vacationing, but it's like in gay spaces too, that like there's a sense of like shame around going to have like fun and gay experiences. And just like personally, I think, I'm not saying everyone does that, but that's the thing I have, is like, oh, like maybe it goes into the Catholicism thing, or I don't mm-hmm. fucking know, you know? And so it brought up this conversation about productivity, and I thought it was interesting to talk about, because I think a lot of people probably, I can't be the only one who feels like this, you know what I mean? Unless I think you're a muggle and it is easier to compartmentalize and balance out your fun because you have a 9-to-5. And so when you have your time off, which is designated and approved and is like a part of the certainty of your life, you just kind of know that that is something that's owed to you. You have earned vacation. It's like, and I have a lot of muggle friends. By the way, for people who don't know, I call people who like aren't in the arts or who aren't like an actor muggles, because they're not on that showgirl schedule. And so they have, I think, a liberty in feeling a little bit better. I'm projecting this, right? Feeling a little bit better about the fun they get to have because they know it's, there's an end date to it, and it's not this like kind of never ending quote unquote work from home, social media, groundhog mm-hmm. day life. You know what I mean? So those are things that I'm in the midst of a lot, and I'm sure both of you can, you know, relate to in some way. Mm-hmm. So that was what popped up for me this year, and realizing that like through ChatGPT's help, it was made aware that like sometimes this idea that if you're not working for or that there's not a physical manifestation or there's this job that you have at the end of the vacation that you can say, well, I'm excited, I'm doing this, but then I have a job I'm starting, that almost is your buy-in to justify the fun you're having now and living in the present moment. And it's kind of like accepting that sometimes, like I also just shared about when I went on Fire Island, was enjoying the fun and really living in the moment actually fueled my want to be more productive. I was like, oh, okay, I am feeling full in some way. and I am having fun. So now I'm like, I want to use this like natural energy I have towards other productive things. Anyway, so that was a lot. And thank you for listening to me.
I have some thoughts, obviously. I always do. My first thought is that ChatGPT is your therapist.
Well, that was the first time I was doing it.
Work. She's like, here's what I'm hearing. You know, and I also love that she's a she, yeah. You know, yeah. Which says, you know, you trust women more, which I love. So here's the thing. I hold two things that can exist at the same time. So for me, to be a creative is to live life. You cannot be a creative if you are not living life, if you're not going to museums, if you're not going out to Fire Island, if you're not, you know, and Fire Island could be anywhere, going to Greece, going to, you know, to
right.
a garage sale. I don't know. Living Disney. Life is part of the essence of being an artist. But I also think it is important as an artist to set up boundaries and guardrails for yourself in order to allow for a life where art can be ever flowing. So the reason I say this is because for me, I went from making a lot of money, you know, doing brand deals and living that kind of work from home social media life as well. And then, you know, acting started picking up and then social media took a downward turn. So the money has not been as potent as it used to be. And what I realized is that I had worked in restaurants and hospitality and all these things before any of that broke through. And so when it did break through and I wasn't going to 9 to 5 or whatever hours we were working, I was telling myself, I deserve this for all of that work that I put in to get to this moment, which I still agree. But what I'm learning now, where I don't have the safety net that I had before, is that I wasn't doing enough in that enjoyable period to lay a foundation for what was to come potentially. You know, we just had a strike. You know, work, when you're an artist, work isn't guaranteed. It is about output. You know, and sometimes that output will last you for 3 years, 4 years, and sometimes the output will last you 2 months and you're, you know, you have to get something new. So, you know, it's funny. It was on my heart the other day to text you. And I swear to you, I forgot until I just heard you say this. I had, you know, when people say, God put it on my heart to tell you this. But I really did have a moment. And I think it's me vicariously wanting to do something through you, was that I feel that when we want things to happen, we have to make them happen ourselves. And I was just doing this great short film in Palm Springs that was self-financed by this writer who produced it. And I was like, you need to text Ian and tell Ian that he needs to write something for himself, that he needs to do a short film or something like that. You can, you know, and you've been living life. You've been on Fire Island. You're, you know, possibly going to P-Town. There is story to be told. There is, you know, and I feel this way because last time I was in P-Town, I remember coming up with this beautiful novel of this friend group that went to P-Town and like had it, like the characters, I was fleshing them out on my little bike ride, you know. And it's one of those things where it's like, again, you have to live life in order to be productive. But it was on my heart to be like, you should tell him to like invest in himself, because, you know, sometimes we're investing in ourselves in like going on vacation or buying a nice other outfit ways. To go to the theater. But sometimes we have to put that aside to invest in the easel, in the crayons, in the paintbrushes, and the things that are going to make not only your creativity sing, but also your investment back, you know? So that's how I think about it sometimes.
The sort of materialization of said experiences and putting them on literally pen to paper makes it, you now have something. You have something now to show to people, to sort of kind of, I completely agree with that.
It's just for a little bit of added structure. I read something when I was first starting out, was like Jerry Seinfeld used to wake up and write every single day. every single day he would write. Everything wouldn't be great. Everything wouldn't be an episode of Seinfeld, but he would write every day. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so smart to like have something set aside where you're like, okay, I go and write on Mondays. I do this on Tuesdays. You know, as an artist, you kind of have to build your world. And I think when we do have a lot of friends that are muggles, as you say, a lot of times you're like, well, you can only really compare to them or the friends that are currently working. And it's a really hard place to be sometimes.
You know, it would go, Juan.
Well, just going to say that I've muggled and I've non-muggled and I've worked for the Ministry of Magic. I've done both. And I would say that this problem, we were kind of calling it offline as our like the productivity complex, you know, the idea that very generally that your worth is attached to your level of productivity. Now, productivity can be defined as many things, literal, actual, like money, the amount of acclaim that you're gaining. You know, productivity is what you're putting out.
Yeah.
You know, what you are producing. And that can be many things. And then deriving validation and self-worth and reason from that thing. That's kind of the productivity complex. And I have felt that fight when I worked in my most muggly of job, when I was working in the trenches full time at CBS, at CBS News, like deep working those long hours, weeks, even when I was being very productive, I still struggled with feeling like I deserved joy. And that sounds kind of that's bigger than that. But I think it's a marathon that is almost impossible to win because the actual value system has to change.
Yeah.
Intrinsically. It's like when I was a kid, I've always seen how my productivity brought joy to others. Like being a good student was so satisfying to my mother. I got gifts because of it. And I got acclaim. And if I was able to like produce jokes, if I was able to like, I'm being very serious. I was able to like produce entertainment for my family, like things would go better for me. I like got more in this world. If I got into the school that I wanted, I got acclaim. I was like, wait a minute now. Wait a damn minute. If I do really well, if I run for student council and I win, people are going to think I'm better and better, and people are going to like me more. And it's like my cross to bear, one of my bigger ones in this life has been the idea that in order to be willing to receive, I have to make.
Right.
And deliver.
That's how a lot of gay men operate in all of their, in every space of their life. It is, if I'm a good boy, I will get, I will be good. I will be loved. I will be appreciated.
At least I'll have that.
And exactly. And so that's why so many people are high functioning overachievers, you know, and it's just, even the people that work those 9 to 5s, they're in those 9 to 5s working their ass off. And that's why sometimes people go and they have a time because they are trying to escape their constant battle with being good enough. And, you know, there's also the layer of baked in shame that society puts on you when you're, you know, queer or when you're othered,
marginalized.
And even white cis men, you know, like cis straight men have a layer of shame if they're not the breadwinner, if they're not the best on the golf course. Like everyone deals with their own level of shame. So productivity is, I've been understanding it differently these days because, you know, being hanging out at my family's place in Florida, I feel productive when I take care of myself. And I think that's what's changed for me in the last like couple months is that I don't feel like I have anything to prove to anyone. I have all to prove to myself. And, you know, you know, even we went to play pickleball last night and I was like, what a beautiful day it's been. We haven't done anything, but I cooked dinner. I made breakfast. I, you know, I folded clothes. Like, those little things are productive. And the reason they're productive is because they make life happy, a little more joyous and happy. Not because anyone else is experiencing it, but I'm experiencing it.
So, yes. And kind of to on this, oh God, so much good stuff happening. I feel like Brene Brown. And like to what Johnny, you just said is so beautiful, that like those things mean so much and feel so productive, because and that they're just for you. You're like, there's, it's just for me. I'm experiencing this because it's making me feel good. And I think I can relate to Juani, and I know you can too. Like, we're actors too, gay men, actors, but like, you know, seeking validation and sort of earning people's love, and like, oh, it's better for me if I do this, blah, blah, blah. That kind of acclaim, if you will, is something that I think I have have had an addiction to, is as long as I'm successful, as long as I'm doing things that people can go clap, 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 that's so great. Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, they have something to be proud of me for. And it's like, I don't know that I don't know that going to P-Town for the week is something that people will go, I'm so, my God, look at him. I'm so proud of him for doing that. That is making,
but you know what I'm saying? Also, so like, who gives a fuck what those people think? You know what I mean?
No, I know. But I mean, I think I realized, I was like, it's because I have other things in my head, which are, putting pen to paper and maybe being more productive in a different way.
But that's also, you can do two things at once. Like, you could be in P-Town with your fucking notebook writing down by the beach. And what a better place to do something like that.
Yeah, but you'd have to be a person who does that kind of thing.
Oh, well, you can be there.
Juan.
You can.
Wow. Not too much on this girl, okay? Not too much on your girl.
Because, you know,
catching strays over here.
I will say so with myself. If I'm in a space that is like a vacation centered space, it's very difficult for me to do work.
Yeah.
Well,
you know what I mean.
But that's the thing. It's aspirational until you make it. Until you make it the thing. Your that's reality. Like people are like, I'm sorry, I just can't go to a restaurant and order a salad. I just can't do it. No, you don't want to do it. You can do it. You can write. You can't. You just have to find a way that makes it. You're getting there a little easier. Like, for me, I'm like, I don't like to sit down and be like, and she was sitting on the beach on that beautiful morning. Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is I'll sometimes voice memo. I'm like, and then he was doing this, and this person looked like this.
Huge.
And that way, if you were to sit, you know, like, just little things like that, that I think. Yes. Or also reading books. I was just sitting down by the pool today reading a book.
Heard of it.
And I forget how beautiful it is to – this is so fucking stupid. It's so beautiful to read because your mind is so much more expansive, and so is your vocabulary. And, you know, so thinking of the creativity that you can have in that moment, and, you know, I don't know, because then the jobs do come and you're like, oh, but I've also been working on this other stuff that's also my pride and joy. Like, even this podcast is part of your productivity, a part of your creativity that,
for sure,
you know, might make the dividends down the road. You don't know. But even if it doesn't, in this moment, when we leave this, it's like, okay, did that, you know?
It is very much so. Yeah. But again, to going back to this idea of deservingness and what you should or should not be doing, the thing that I've always tried, I'm really trying to get into my head as of late, is that is my business handled, right? Am I the CEO of Procter & Gamble? No. Do I host the second, third, fourth, ninth, and 10th hour of the Today Show? No. Do I have the keys to the city of New York? No. But my business is overall handled there, and I do get to have fun. And when I'm having fun, or when I am unwinding, I should be completely present in that while I'm doing that.
Right.
I, for too long, have like not enjoyed any moment I'm in. Right. I'm not enjoying the work because I'm thinking about pleasure. I'm not enjoying the pleasure because I'm thinking about how I should be working.
Right.
And
that's sometimes very how I feel when I do like the short films and stuff that aren't like the big budget, but it's like, you know, it feels like a mom and pop situation, like feels like theater where you're all kind of in it.
Yeah. Way more artistically.
And it
free.
Is like in those moments that I'm like, this is why I do it. I don't do it for the trailer or the thing. That is nice. It makes things much easier. But it's like we need more plumbers in this world. We need more cobblers, you know, like we need people that are just content in living a life, you know, that are content in doing that regional production of Hairspray and knowing that that is something they said that they could do. They could still move their body and use their voice. And I think that's also another thing. I'm like, I've been so addicted to the idea of being the best, of being the first in my family, of being the thing, because you know, the American dream, all the things that were instilled in us, especially millennials, we are seeing that, you know, maybe is not like, not to say we can't have all those things, but we might not have all those things. And who wants to get to the end of their life and be like, damn, I wish I would have just really enjoyed myself a little more instead of always wanting for more when I had so much.
And that is what all older couples, when they're getting interviewed and like, is there one thing you would tell your younger self? They literally, I'm literally like 90% always say, I wished I didn't work as much. I wished I had gone on that trip. I wished I had had more fun. I wish, you know, blah, blah, blah. They may be the CEO of Procter & Gamble. They may be doing hours 4, 5, 6, and 7 of the Today Show. And that's the whole thing. It's like it's always both. God, I love that. It is just always both. It's I worked really hard at that and I wished I could have done more of that. But it's also I've been doing a lot of this. I just didn't
also,
really want to. You know what I mean?
Perhaps that old person would not be as comfortable as they are now if they hadn't worked as hard then. Or their kid would their kids would
that's
have
what
gone
I'm saying.
Harvard
yes.
And then they, you know, and then now their kid's a doctor. And it was
it's all, always both.
But, you know, it's also this obsession with superlatives. When I was growing up, I was obsessed with superlatives. Mm. My whole life has always been about best, most. Like, you know, I just love – I always ask. Like, my question when I would ask people growing up, I was such an annoying only child. I used to say, like, did it meet or exceed your expectations? It was like my question.
You
asked
that
about everything.
Work.
About to about that was just like a way I would make conversation with my mom's friends.
I didn't know that
they were like, we just started to, did it meet or exceed your expectations? Someone taught me that, and then I just always started to ask that. But
I love that
is like the to me, it's always like, did it meet? Did it exceed? Was it the best? Was it the worst? Like those things. Being the best, striving to, and running away from being the worst. That level of that is almost a compulsion attached with output and assessing and ascribing like value and success to something to what I'm creating has been a driving force and it's helped me a lot. But it's also, I think, when you brought up this issue of thinking about, okay, what am I doing here this summer? I feel like I've taken too much time off. I feel like I haven't created enough. I haven't contributed enough. I haven't chipped away enough at the marble to figure out what I'm actually sculpting here. That kind of thinking is important. It's not that I think that we need to get rid of that thinking.
Oh,
because,
for sure.
You know,
for sure.
That kind of drive is the stuff that keeps things exciting.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's why. But
also can destroy pleasure.
Yeah. There's a difference between ambition and blind ambition. You know, that there's like you're not like not listening to anyone else, not experience. You just you have something in your mind. That's how I kind of like see relationships too. It's that some people put such an importance on partnership that they don't enjoy their lives alone, or you know what I mean? And that's why, like, when we talk about, like, my sexuality and my demureness, I never sorry, not never. In when I turned 30 and after my relationship with Will, I really made sure that when I was seeking sexual validation or enjoyment, I was really doing it for myself because I enjoy sex, and that I wasn't having sex and then thinking, oh God, I shouldn't have done that. Like I should, you know, like if I have a boyfriend, like if I had a boyfriend, owning like it. I probably wouldn't even be doing stuff like that. Like own it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And be in that moment to be like, yes, I'm giving myself the joy of sex. Like, you know, even when I would like masturbate before bed, I'm like, God, that was so nice. I just give myself a little treat before sleep. But there's like all of this shame that comes with everything that we do, that it's like, if we just give that up or say it doesn't, it's not adding value to your life. You know, I mean, it's hard. It's easier said than done, obviously, but everything is a practice. And I think, you know, this, you know, I was talking to someone recently. I was like, I love the idea of not putting monogamy or polyamory on this sort of like, they're like level, you know, because they both have risk. They both have work. They both have, but it's like this idea, like if I see one more gay tweet, like nobody wants to be in a monogamous relationship anymore, I'm like, that's not true. That there's so many people that want to be in monogamy. Where are you? Where are you looking? Where are you looking? You know?
You peace.
Or, and I also like I want to just say to my sisters in faith, worry about having a good relationship before you worry about having a specific type of relationship. Like, is he texting you back? Can you communicate? Can you do the bare minimum before you start adding all these things? Like, nobody wants to do this. It's so hard to. It's like there's just so much air that we put in stuff that doesn't need to have. Things, you know, sorry, that was like a little tangential, but it is kind of like this idea of productivity of like, I'm good enough. If I do this, if I don't post this thirst trap, I'm, you know, I'm going to be more worthy to men and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you will be worthy for the person who sees worth in you.
So here's, I have a question and this popped up for me when I was having my therapy session with ChatGPT was that I wrestle with this idea that it feels more comfortable. I would feel more at ease sharing in the fun I'm having if I was in a relationship, if I was on vacation with my partner, if I was spending time with my family, doing things that are a little bit more like socially acceptable are would be easier for me to share. But because I'm single and I'm doing gay things that have a naughtiness to them sometimes, or that they're just like not attached to being in relationship is a reason why sometimes I don't maybe post as much. Right. And it's like, wait, so if we're calling a person
because you know what I mean?
I know, like I'm just sharing. Like that's like, a thing.
That's
that
the thing. This is where you see the fork in the road, and you can either choose which play you want to go. You want to go do society's way, which is like dated and riddled with, you know, obvious like bullshit, or do you want to take your road where it's like, you know, you know enough about yourself that you know this brings you joy. This makes you feel like you're living a full life, and you know, but you can't. It's like hard to do both. You know,
what I thought about when you said that, and not too much on my girl, but is that merely because of vanity? Because it looks better doing it with someone? Because I think that because it would look better, I'm here with someone, I'm doing this with someone. Because I actually think that couples who are perceived as being outside too much get just as much criticism as a single person who's perceived as being outside.
Oh, interesting.
Too much. I think that couples get just as much heat for that, if not more.
Oh, interesting. I did not think that's what you were going to say. And yeah, because I was about to bring up that, like, the way we go, oh, that person posting single, shirtless, thirst trap. I'm like, what do we call the couple trap? What do we call the posting that sometimes you're like, okay, like, why is it more socially acceptable for couples to feel like they can share coupledom more? And you're saying right now you're actually joining in
that?
On the
who had been saying
what?
That?
Who been saying that?
I think that's what I'm saying is that is my own
because sometimes you know being in a couple like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I shouldn't post me and my boyfriend again, because we were like, okay, we get it, you have a fucking boyfriend.
Yeah.
And that and yeah. this is what I have to say to quote my next vice president of the United States,
my girl,
mind your own goddamn business. Mind your own business. That's the thing. Like, I just worry about you sitting there looking at other people's lives and being like, if I had this, maybe it would be more socially acceptable. That's not true, because there's three other bitches that are looking at that same exact post being like, okay, we get it. You're on vacation with your fucking boyfriend. Let me go delete my Instagram. And it's like, no, just go to therapy, babe. Like, it's, or talk to ChatGPT. Like, you know, she has some good things to say.
She does. She's well researched. She's been scanned to every word that's ever been said online. That's where she's pulling from. But I do think there are people who do, because again, perception in many ways is reality. So we're just going to talk about perception and this couples thing for a second, just to quickly.
Sure.
I think that there are couples who are annoying, as there are single people who are annoying online, for sure, that do post too much.
Right.
My sweet baby Bubba, everyone deserves a boyfriend like my Bubba, but they'll never get one because my Bubba is mine. My sweet baby Bubba is my husband and he's a lawyer and I'm so proud of all his achievements at Procter & Gamble. That's annoying. But Bubba and baby do get to post some pictures.
Yeah.
And I actually think that, but I think that you put two.
Wow, who's Bubba? Who are baby and Bubba?
They exist. Yeah, hashtag.
They exist. They work for Deloitte.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deloitte.
They live in DC. Yes.
Muggles.
They have one pro-Palestine post that they deliberated over 2 weeks before they posted. Okay, so I just really think that this idea of if I was sharing it with someone. Yeah, I think perhaps it would feel. I see what you mean, in the sense that it maybe feel better for yourself. But as for,
I think it's kind of a deeper insecurity of mine, and like this sort of societal pressure. Agreed. That I have, you know.
But you didn't make it up. You're only going off of the evidence that you've been given from the world that you live in.
Yeah.
So and two things. Like, yeah.
And exactly. I thought
through this as we were talking about it. At first, I thought you were saying about your perception in the world, but you're meaning about how you experience it with the world. It's like when my ex broke up with me and we were at the house. I think I said this on the podcast before. It was like the day that the breakup happened. And I was like, how could you do this to me? You made me single. I have to go be single again. God, I hate it. Mm-hmm. I have to go be single out. I have to be perceived as a single person again, because it does feel like, wow, I've achieved this.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. I did this. I did this. Someone likes me enough.
Correct.
To call me boyfriends, but now we're here together.
And so because that relationship is an external
example of the product
achievement. It's an external achievement that gives you and your life maybe a feeling of more legitimacy.
Yeah, of
course. Does that make sense?
I love watching TikToks of older people. Like, you know, a woman will be wearing this beautiful thing. She's a full head of gray hair. She's got bangles. She's got colors. And people are like, what's your style like tip? She's like, just wear whatever you want. It's your body. You do what you want with it. And like, or there's like an older lady with her hair down and she's dancing around at the beach. And it's just like, you get to a point where you're just like, why the fuck do I care about what anyone says? Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, I'm going to die alone. Like, I might have family and friends around, but you will be the last one there when you take that breath. So why the hell? And a lot of these people, even in my 20s, I think about it now, in my 20s when I was like, oh, I don't want to be like, I got to be with this person, or I got to see this, or I got to dress this way. A lot of that, I don't even know those people anymore. They don't have an impact on my current life. You know, they... So to put so much of that prescription of like, oh, I should do this, I should probably do this because this person might be watching, or that, yes, there is a level of like, you know, demurity and decorum that you should have, absolutely. But I think there's an importance of asking yourself, what am I going, if I write the book of my life, what am I going to write down? When, what are these chapters going to look like? Are they going to be peppered with me just being stressed about life all the time? Or they're going to be like fully like this week on Fire Island. And that's also the thing about these vacations that I think is really important. Whether you go to Portugal or whether you go to P-Town, you're meeting new people. If you're putting yourself out there, you're meeting people that might be your collaborators, that might be your lovers, that might be your best friend for forever. You never know. So I do think, yes, go and write your book while you're sitting on the beach, but go to the beach. Like, you want to go to the beach.
Yeah,
go to the beach.
No, for sure. Yeah. And you know, I subscribe to that. You know, I'm a big person that I've since coming back from Fire Island, and I've always said that, like, I have these very deeply meaningful connections that are made, and those people are in my, you know, right, I'm not 80, so I can't be like, I don't talk to them anymore. But like right now, there are these people and connections who are in my life, and they mean a lot to me. And they have, that's why I'm even in this apartment, was from a connection and a friendship I made with Robert, who I met on a trip that I had the same kind of indecisive distrust in myself moment with. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going, and I ended up having a wonderful time, and I ended up making relationships building brand new relationships with people that mean a lot to me, you know. And
it's like, eat the cake.
Yeah.
Eat the cake.
And share with these people.
Eat the cookie.
Yes.
But also
share with those people your ideas of productivity, what you want to do, the ideas. Oh, I want to open a coffee shop. Oh my God, I've always wanted to open a coffee shop. We should do it together. Like, you know, I always tell you guys, I'm like, oh, let's all buy a house in Austin together. We can flip it and we can sell it. We can, like, I'm always thinking of roping my friends into my productivity of what we could do, like this podcast, for example. Like, we're doing it together. It is part of our mutual productivity, but it's also part of our solo productivity, you know? And I think that's important. I think that what vacation doesn't have to be, especially as an artist, like all of it is so, like your dating life. When I started doing videos on Instagram as like Megan and Julissa, those were ideas that came from my life. Like when I got stood up on a date, I put that wig on and I did Megan get stood up on a date because I had all those feelings and all those lines that I wanted to say, but I was doing it through a character. And
I
the same way you
here.
Can do that with, like, if you want to make a short film and then you submit it to Outfist and then, oh my God, Ian's a actor director. Like, and we want to put him in this, and you don't know how everything can snowball just for you having the audacity to enjoy your life and as an artist to put that on the canvas somewhere.
And to put that on,
But I'm not a CPA, and I will say this, you can do that when your money's abundant and ever flowing, but also we live in a capitalistic world where you do have to pay bills. And so I think it's just about living a life.
That's
where
what I'm
you
saying. Is your house in order?
Things. Yes, exactly.
Is your house in order? And to be, you know, that's been a big part of my journey in the last 6 months, is really making sure that, you know, okay, a little bit of savings there, making things happen, have things enough to make it happen. But I have, you know, it's definitely like a put your head down and work a little bit fall for me. Like, you know, I really, that's just the real truth. I have to really, not only with this this project and other things in my life, it's really also a matter of like, okay, I also have to really pour myself into these things that do fill me up so that I can have more fun in this world, and then I can feel safe, and then I can take care of myself, and then I don't need to feel like I'm at the whim of a man or of one job to save my ass. I want to make sure that I'm covering myself, and doing that requires a lot of work.
Yep.
Quick question.
With that,
do we want to continue, maybe do a spilled milk and not move on to the full other topic, polyamory, and maybe find something attached to that?
Save that. I do think
this has been a good conversation, but I think it's going to get too long.
You're right.
Let's do a spilled milk, which we have.
Porch.
Oh, great. I love it.
Okay, so let's go to commercial.
Yeah. So, you know, okay, guys, enough about me and my insecurity, or sorry, my indecision making, which really just comes down to like trusting yourself, which is hilarious because Johnny, you did send us that. You did come to my mind. You did send me that. See, I have references too. But that you sent us a really great TikTok that I had, you know, I saw it first actually a couple months ago, but I didn't want to tell you via text that I had seen it. So,
you know, I've loved her for quite some time. Callback.
I'm really exactly. Wow. Can you tell I just need to be put to work? Can you tell I have all this energy, world, all this energy, Ian? Just do the thing. Go hire the fat girl. Anyway. Okay, she's ballistic. So I am not a well woman. And I like Munster. Oh, and that video you sent about this woman being like, you know,
overthinking.
Make a decision. Yeah. Just decide. Decide. It was kind of hilarious that you sent that.
I sent it because you're an overthinker. Well, we're all overthinkers if we're being honest, you know.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, yeah, because you've sent a lot of things to the chat that's like overthinkers need this. Da, 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 da.
I know.
Oh, wait, before we – coming back? Did we come back yet or no?
No,
okay, I wanted to share another TikTok.
No, that was
– here that I saw this morning that I thought
– Oh, I love sharing a TikTok. Yes. Share it.
Do it.
Right here. Okay.
Our weekly TikTok.
It's a small world.
This fitness influencer I follow, like, absolute bombshell. She said, excuses make today easier and tomorrow harder. And discipline makes today harder but tomorrow easier. So I'm here at the gym on the Stairmaster. This fitness influencer I follow.
It's so simple, but oh my God.
It's also how it's worded. It's like when you hear, it's like that is poetry. You know, you're just like,
excuses make today easier, like tomorrow harder. Discipline makes today harder and
tomorrow easier.
I love it. You know what? Someone sat down in P-Town probably on the beach and they thought of that and they were like, I'm going to use this time and I'm going to, and they put pen to paper. That's how that was written.
Yes. You know, someone, I have to find who it was.
Balls.
We may cut this, but we have to find who it was. But there was someone who was sharing about their fitness journey. Oh, I know what it was. It was a person who's this. I have to find him. I don't have it ready, but it's this guy who's lost a lot of weight and looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, he really has had a tremendous transformation. He had the skin removal, and it's like the best I've ever seen. He looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. And people ask me like what my like cheat code is, or like what I really did that put me ahead of other people. And he was like, it was just consistency. And I think that is it's such a hard thing when people, you know, a lot of people share that, but it becomes a trope, but really is the key.
That's what I've learned. Again. What I put in my mouth is really what shows up in the world. Like you know what I mean? Like what I'm eating is making me feel the way I'm, you know, and it's less about how I look, but the way I look feels better. When I'm consistent and eating and treating myself
and
well.
Being
what?
And you're being mindful. Very mindful. Very
I'm not
cutesy.
Eating a whole burger. I'm eating half. Okay. I'm not like the rest of you girls that has a large fries.
Oh my God. More on that when we get back from the break.
And we are back, my sweet Gypsy Doodle Angel Amiga friends. We're back. You know, today's episode has been all about productivity, work, output. We haven't talked enough about input, but there's always enough time. We talk enough about sex. My mom has certainly reminded me of that.
We love feedback.
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 One of the great tracks. Before we start Spilled Milk, we need to do a little song showcase.
That was funny.
Strum me like an amplifier. If you miss the feedback, you go and take it.
He's like saying every third lyric, but
look at me, take it through the come on. Jump on feedback, feedback, feedback. Oh. You're like a high master. I know him, they go hypnotize. You want to answer a psychopath? No. And you know, let the thighs, you don't think of thighs.
No, unacceptable.
Don't say no, you're strong about something like a handstand, period.
I love when actors sing. It's a nice. Oh my god. Actor, singer, dancers. Dancer, singer, actors. Mm-hmm. Who's going to read this week's Spilled Milk? Am I reading it?
Sure. Yeah, the answer is usually in the question.
Alonso from Brooklyn writes, Hi, Alonso. We love the LGBTQIA community here. Alonso from Brooklyn writes, My partner and I both work demanding jobs. And lately, we've been arguing about money and how we spend our time. I'm a bit more frugal and focused on saving, while they prefer to enjoy the moment and spend on experiences. Additionally, our different approaches to work-life balance. I'm more structured and they're more spontaneous. It's causing friction. How can we find a balance in our financial habits and productivity styles without feeling like we're compromising too much of ourselves?
Wow. I just love the way that was written and also read. So thank you for reading that.
Aloncito. This is not easy, my dear. This is not easy. But for what we of course, we don't have all the details, but you do see my partner and I both work demanding jobs, which means that that's a euphemism for, mira.
Procter & Gamble. Oh, money.
The cash is coming in.
It's giving.
I'm not saying that you're both gazillionaires.
Is your business tended to.
You're not wanting to all that much. Did you guys feel that?
So what are you doing listening to us? Yeah, I'm kidding.
Did you guys kind of interpret that also? I think just to give a little bit of, they're worth working hard is the point. Mm-hmm. Both of them are working hard. So even if there's a financial disparity, they're both working hard.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. I'll. It's giving subtext, but like,
well, some
yes.
People,
yes.
I mean, some people are just, no matter how hard they work or how little they work, are just frugal, AKA cheap. And that is hard when someone's like, I work a hard job and I want to spend the money I'm making. And then the other person's like, I'm saving because we got to save for a rainy day. And it's like, there's got to be a balance where it's like, yeah, but like you might get hit by a bus tomorrow. Can you like, let's go to dinner, you know? It's hard.
You know, I feel like a good way to navigate this is with scheduling and planning. So I understand that his kind of, I'm just using love language as a term, like his part of his love language is kind of the spontaneity, as you mentioned, and not needing that much structure, but you do need structure.
Yeah.
Right? So you say, I'm more structured, they're more spontaneous, and that's causing friction. Great. But you're more focused on savings while they prefer to enjoy the moment and spend on experiences. Okay, so let's split the difference. Spend on experiences that are structured.
Very
just
organized.
Like plan it a little bit more. Like a certain amount of money for spontaneous dinners.
In the budget. But also if you go over the budget a little bit, don't be a fucking crazy person and be like, that's not in the budget. Like, okay.
Yeah. It's also realizing and holding space for the fact that so let's say that the more organized person maybe is the one who's like being responsible and fiscally aware of saving. You could see his spontaneous sort of the way he lives his life as like his feature. It's like, oh my god, I love that he is like that because I am not that, rather than why is he not more like me. And it's like, be careful in relationships to not start to want to make your partner you. Ooh. And to let them be themselves. So and is really huge. Is like, it's because you're, because there's whoever wrote this is saying that their version, the way they're doing it, this is probably a Virgo who wrote this, their version of doing this is slightly irresponsible because it is spontaneous. But actually, I would say their spontaneousness is something worth indulging in enough so that you can feel good about your productivity as the person who is a little bit more structured.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you like each other? And that is the first question.
Thank you.
I have.
Yeah, really.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? Like,
yeah.
Because sometimes, I don't know, like in relationship, the thing that you love yep. about them is sometimes the things that you're like,
is the first, yeah.
oh, I just wish you were more frugal. And it's like, listen, you when you're in partnership with other people, like you just have to meet somewhere in the middle. Like, yeah. you know, and especially because the frugal person is allowing space for the person that's not so frugal to be like, okay, we can do that, but we also have to do this. Like, it's, you know, I hate saying give and take because it's like, it feels like tit for tat, but it is one of those things. It's like, it's in harmony. Like, if someone has to sing the yeah. alto, someone has to sing the bass, someone has to sing the soprano, you know, like, yeah. and don't yeah. try and do both, just sing your part and enjoy it.
During
and
this song.
Yes.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's like the great correct. CeCe Bloom sings, you got to give a little, take a little, lose a little. That's the story of, that's the glory of love. Like, you gotta negotiate here a little bit, Alonso. So like, maybe yeah. you perform spontaneity.
Right.
Maybe not wanting to, right? And meeting him there so that you model what you want to receive. Be spontaneous for him so that you prove like, hey, I'm with you up to a certain, I'm with you here. I like this about you. You know, I like
yeah,
you.
I love that about you. Yes.
But I also want you to understand that I really have a goal for us to save this amount by 2026 because I know as the more fiscally responsible as the treasurer of this relationship, I want us to be able to do this really special thing for our 10-year anniversary, and we won't be able to do it unless we plan for that, you yeah. know.
And how nice if someone said it to me like that, and you're just like, if someone came up to me and was like, I just like love how spontaneous, I love that you always want to do something, I want to do those things with you always, like, I just hope you never lose that. And then they're just like, oh. And then you come in with a note, and you know, and you're just like, but I also want to focus on this thing,
a compliment
that is like
sandwich,
deeply meaningful to me. But it's also, it's like, it's, I appreciate that about you. And also, this thing isn't just rules. It isn't just structure. It's, this actually is also my feature, my feature that brings me a lot of joy, that allows me to relax in the spontaneous thing that we are going to embark on. That is a part of my essence. Mm-hmm. And so it would matter to me if, like, it would mean a lot if we could focus just as much on that in the way that we do for some of the fun, spontaneous things, you know?
Right. I'd love that. Look at you.
Yeah.
This seems like they've got the good foundation.
Yeah. If this person who wrote this out, I have nothing but faith in you. I have nothing but faith in you. The dashes and the commas used, I think you're gonna
get a good head on your shoulders. And the name, Alonso, isn't that a great name?
Alonso. And they live in Brooklyn. I'm sure you're in a brownstone. And if you're not, that's fine too.
We're gilding that lily for you.
Yeah.
We are.
Gorgeous.
Let us know how that goes, Alonso. I know we say this, but it's like, I'm sure our listeners are wondering, you know, they've talked to so many and helped so many. Like, I don't know. Like, I want to help so many.
Oh, I don't know that we want to know, actually. Yeah. It could be
a razor sharp indictment of our advice skills.
I actually do sometimes think about that one couple that was getting proposed, like they were proposing and they were going to do like the proposal in front of the homophobic family. I still wonder how that went.
Well, if you're still here,
that was around Thanksgiving. It was supposed to be in front, right? Wasn't it that they were going to do it at Thanksgiving?
Yes, we need follow up.
Living, honey.
And it was at, was that the one where I was like, just think of him as being capable of receiving it. Maybe him being there will help change his idea.
Yeah. And I was like, fuck him.
You both were.
Next week.
Tres leches, they're all different.
This is a good segue because next week we're talking about polyamory. And we have this whole thing we're going to talk about next week. But we're discussing some cases from this another podcast that we became obsessed with. And one of them was about an uncle. And a polyamorous couple telling an uncle and how that changed their relationship. And I was like, y'all are too attached to these aunts and uncles. You know what I mean? Like, girl, what? You're a fucking uncle? Who cares? Like, who cares? No shade. I love my uncles who love me. But if you,
I love my uncle. I love.
Why am I stressing about Uncle Phil? You know what I mean. And not that Uncle Phil.
Well, yeah. Rest in peace.
The proverbial Uncle Phils. But anywho, that's next week. A whole episode on polyamory. So please stay tuned. We love you.
Love ya.
See you next week. Mwah.
Bye.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.